A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Utah's top local story. Special coverage with Dave and DeGenevieve.
It seemed like it took just a few hours, Dave, for Planned Parenthood of Utah to sue the state of Utah over Utah's abortion trigger law that took effect right after Roe versus Wade fell. Right after the Supreme Court came out and said, we're striking down Roe versus Wade on Friday. So Utah's law bans abortions under most circumstances. Okay, there's a very narrow set of circumstances as to when a woman can obtain an abortion in Utah. But I'm curious, does this lawsuit that's been filed stand a chance of surviving the court process?
It's a good question because I think it really does fall on the states now, right? Whatever the state wants to do in regards to abortion is up to the states. And that's what striking down Roe versus Wade did. Justice Alito said abortion is not constitutionally protected because it's not mentioned specifically in the Constitution. So that was part of the reasoning. I mean, it was, what, 213 pages of reasoning?
Specifically, though, addressing the U.S. Constitution.
Yes.
My understanding is, and I tried to read most of the Supreme Court's opinion. It's long. It's a lot of legalese. But I don't think it addressed the state constitutions. So I wonder if that is what Planned Parenthood will use in its argument, seems to be planning to use in its argument. Like Utah's abortion trigger law is illegal. I'm not saying it is, but is that their argument under the Utah Constitution?
And what does that mean?
Let's get with KSL's legal analyst, Greg Skordis. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, you guys.
Did I articulate that all right, that the Planned Parenthood plans on using the state constitution to see if it can win over the court?
Absolutely. I think you and Dave are spot on this morning. And so what happened is this, and I think Dave sort of articulated, but the trigger law was in effect, and the legislature had actually passed that in 2021 session, anticipating this Dodd decision, the one that overturns Roe. I think Planned Parenthood of Utah had their own, I'll call it a trigger lawsuit, that was in the can because they filed it so quickly. But that lawsuit says, okay, the United States Supreme Court has said there's no federal constitutional right to an abortion. And so they're saying, we believe that, we'll follow that, but we think there is a Utah state constitutional right to that procedure, and we intend to file it in the state court so that the ultimate decider will be the state Supreme Court, and this won't go to the United States Supreme Court.
And what's that argument look like? Because I think that was part of Justice Alito's problem with Roe versus Wade, was kind of this extrapolation, a combination of varying rights that they tried to link to Roe versus Wade. What would Planned Parenthood say is the constitutionally protected law?
State, so that's a great question. Right. So what we've said, and I've seen this argument made in other contexts, for example, a person who's concerned about a search or seizure and they lose under the Fourth Amendment, but they make the same argument under the state law. And the argument goes like this, that when the founders of the state of Utah put their constitution together because of some persecution, because of what was going on with the people of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who we make no bones, were very active in the enactment of the Constitution, that they intended there to be greater privileges for the citizens of Utah, a greater shield of protections for the citizens here because of the fact that they'd come and been persecuted. So there is an argument to be made that, in fact, our founders of this state intended a greater cloak of protection for the citizens of the state of Utah than the federal government did.
But on the flip side of that, Greg, I would just throwing this out there. I don't know how the Attorney General's office will argue this, if they are indeed the ones that will argue it. But that almost sounds like a stretch. Like a stretch, that they're trying to stretch something that was meant to maybe protect religious values and religious freedoms into something that protects abortion.
You're right. And I don't think anyone is saying that this lawsuit is a slam dunk. But the federal government, Justice Alito, has said this is a state issue. And the state of Utah has come in and said, now that it's our issue, here's our law. And so the only way you can challenge that, whether it's a stretch or not, is to challenge the law as it relates to the Utah Constitution. So, I mean, is it a good lawsuit? Is it a bad lawsuit? Right. I'm like you, Debbie. I haven't really had a chance to weigh every aspect of it. But that's the only argument I think that Planned Parenthood of Utah could make in light of this decision which came down on Friday.
Why is it so important to go after the state constitution? Is there another avenue, whether it was the interpretation of a law or whether a state law goes too far? Why take it directly to the constitution?
Because the federal government has said under federal constitution, abortion is no longer protected. The state legislature has come in and said, okay, then here is our law. And the only way to challenge that law is to say that it doesn't fit within the state constitution. So really, if you're challenging the legitimacy of the of a law, a newly enacted law, the best way to do that, or kind of the only way to do that, is to say it doesn't fit into the parameters of the Utah state constitution because of the protections that our people, that the people of this, the citizens of this state should and were expected to enjoy because of our constitution.
As it stands right now, as you said, you know, Utah's law took effect. Its trigger law was kind of waiting in the shadows, waiting for the Supreme Court of the United States to make its decision on Roe versus Wade, which it struck down on Friday. Then the trigger law took effect, and it basically bans most abortions, Greg, with rare exceptions. You've got exceptions of rape or incest, which have been reported to law enforcement or the proper authorities, according to Utah's law. And then you've got situations where the mother's life is at risk, or two doctors determine that the fetus has a defect that is uniformly diagnosable or uniformly lethal. And so this is, for now, it would seem that most abortions, and I don't know the statistics, you know, I think there's something like 2,900 abortions, 2,800 in the state of Utah in 1 year, according to the last statistics that have been held by the Utah Department of Health, I believe it is, or Vital Records. So it would seem that most of these abortions have been put on hold. And that I do know from my experience, and I know you've been in the courts a lot longer than I have as a practicing attorney, that these things can take years to resolve. Any thought on any time frame on this?
Yeah, so I think that the plaintiffs in this latest case, I'll call it the Planned Parenthood of Utah case, have asked for an emergency injunction, a restraining order, that Utah law be sort of recognized as allowing for this procedure until the Utah courts can decide it. Because you're right, if it takes a year to decide, then all of their named plaintiffs, the individuals who are expecting to have an abortion or had that planned in the next couple of weeks, it would be moot. It would have no value. So this is the type of lawsuit that's going to have at least a preliminary finding done pretty quickly. And sometimes courts will just stay the imposition of the federal law until the state can have its issues heard.
Greg Skordas, thank you for joining us. KSL legal analyst joins us, and it is not unexpected. As Greg said, Debbie, this was a trigger law for the trigger law.
A trigger lawsuit.
We're not surprised that this Planned Parenthood lawsuit happened so quickly. They certainly knew that this was either likely or certainly a strong possibility.
On the national level, it does seem as though the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, He's lost control of his court, according to a lot of analysts across the country. We're going to dive into that discussion straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get a quick blast of news each morning.
From Ukraine to Utah County.
You'll hear it first.
And accurately.
On KSL.
Listen weekdays between 5 and 9 to Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.